Well, it's good to be with you in the house this morning and excited for what God's going to do today through the teaching of the Word. Hey, we on the note of giving, we have a South Africa mission trip coming up at the end of March. A few of us are going over there. Y'all are aware we started a partnership with Hope to Africa last year, and we're taking our second trip over there and then hopefully plenty of more trips coming up. There's several ways that you can support that. But one of the ways I wanted to throw out to you right now up front, nothing set up at the moment, but they are currently, this organization is wanting to, or is raising money to purchase a van. Now, I'm going to get more information to you. I just wanted to drop a little note there for you to pray about it. Their goal is to raise $20,000. They need $10,000 more. I have not committed to our church is going to do that, but I believe that we absolutely can raise the other $10,000 they need. So I just want to put that out there, be praying about it. You'll be hearing some more info on that in the future. We just have to work those details out. So please be praying about that. We're going to be in John chapter 5 today, 19 to 30, and I'm going to throw you for a loop. I'm going to ask you to stand up as we read the Word of God. Now, you're probably like, oh no, is he about to do this every single week? I'm not, but go ahead and stand up. We're going to read the Word of God together in reverence to the Word, and I'm only doing this because my prayer, I used to be on the other end of this, and there were several pastors I would sit under, and they would do this every week, and I'd be like, oh gosh, I just sat down. And I don't want to stand. I've also been in settings where they have you stand for 30 or 40 minutes straight and just read. So if you would like, we can just read through the Gospel of John today. We can do it. We can do it. But my prayer for us is that there would be a freshness of the Gospel of John. I don't know if you figured out yet, but there's some repetition. And we are in this gospel because of the repetition. But I'm praying that God would let this be a fresh word for us every single week that we gather together. And so let's read the Word of God together. I'll read it for us. John chapter 5, 19 to 30. And let's hone in on what God's saying today through the evangelist John. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows himself everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these so that you will be amazed. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one but has given all judgment to the Son so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. And he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Lord, we need a word from you. And I'm believing, Lord, that you have a word for us today. May you speak so clearly as we are seeking you this morning, speaking through phones even. That's what's happening. That's amazing. But would you speak to us now? We need a word. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about this title, Jesus as Judge. Jesus as Judge. Now you hear that, and that obviously brings into the mix the doctrine of judgment. It's like, oh great, why did I come to church today to hear about the doctrine of judgment? But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to put a little pieces of there here and there. But I want you to think about this. We actually all desire justice in some way, shape, or form. So we hear about the gospel of judgment, and it's like, I don't know if I want to hear about Jesus as judge or God as judge. In fact, I have friends who don't come to church because that's all you'll talk about is God's a wrathful. We all want justice in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes you are mistreated. You know, someone doesn't treat you right. And you may think, am I ever going to get vindication, Lord? This just doesn't seem fair. Maybe you are living a righteous life, life of integrity, character. You're doing everything you're supposed to do. You look and your neighbor across the street, opposite, they're thriving and you are not. And you think, what the heck? You know, I'm doing everything I should be doing. They're doing everything they shouldn't be doing. Yet their life looks an awful lot better than my life. We want justice. We think, Lord, do you see this? Are you going to judge them? It gets even worse. Maybe someone lives 80 years straight, a terrible life, okay, wicked life, evil. They die. They seem to have flourished their entire life. You look and think, is there anything that's going to level the playing field? Is God going to judge them? Did he see any of the life that they lived? We have these in us. We want justice. I think about several years ago, an apologist and theologian, very famous guy, everyone looked up to him. He was very brilliant, at least in the aspect of his delivery, just so good with words. He died. And it wasn't a couple months later we learned, man, this life that the guy lived publicly didn't match his private life. They were different. Awful things we read. As we read through this investigative report that came through, the organization hired some lawyers, just kind of looked through everything, did not live a good life. The unbelievers were saying, see, there is no God. Why, how would a holy, righteous God allow this man publicly to profess Jesus but privately live a polar opposite life of the Christ life? Even believers were having questions like, was the guy saved? Like, what's going to happen? Is God going to judge him? Here's the answer to that question. Yes, absolutely. Everybody's going to face a judge, but may I put this out to you? We love the idea of someone else, or we love the idea of someone else being judged or personally receiving vindication, but we do not like the idea of personally being judged. Tim Keller says it this way: we desire a ruler of righteousness, but we do not want a righteous ruler. We want the rule of righteousness, but we don't want a righteous leader. We want other people to get judged, but we don't want the judging to happen to us. Here's the big idea for today. All will face the judge. Some will be acquitted. All will face the judge. Some will be acquitted. Let me read a couple verses here to kind of set up where we're going today. 19 and 20, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows himself everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these so that you will be amazed. To set the stage, Jesus is kind of setting the stage of some pretty polarizing things he's going to say. And the first question he's kind of answering to these Jews, his opponents, the ones who are questioning everything he's saying. He's wanting to explain to them why he's speaking with such authority, why he has authority and deity, and why he's claiming he has even equality with God. And what he's describing is every bit of authority that he has to do with his relationship with God the Father. So the authority Jesus speaks with comes from the relationship between the Son and the Father. We see the Father is someone who initiates, who commands, who gives direction on what the Son is supposed to do. And the Son is actually the one who is receiving this authority, receiving the commands, receiving this call to fulfill the Father's will on his life. Everything Jesus done is what the Father has called him to do, and this is how Jesus has the authority that he has. Kent Hughes says it's like it's one beating heart between the Son and the Father. And so this is the authority that Jesus speaks with. He speaks with all authority, and it's wrapped entirely around his relationship with his Father. But what does Jesus say? The Son's going to do even greater things. Now, he's saying this after just making a man who couldn't walk, walk again. That's pretty amazing. But what he's telling these opponents is the Son is going to do something even greater that's going to make all of you marvel. And when he uses this word marvel, what he's really signaling is it's going to help his opponents take some steps towards faith, which is what we're praying for you today. Maybe some of you came in the room, you don't believe at all. We're certainly praying that something today makes you marvel or stand in awe and take some steps towards faith. But here's the point. We should always be affirming Jesus as authority over our lives, as Lord and Savior over our lives. And that affirmation should shape the way that we live. So everything that Jesus is about to say in this text is centered around his relationship with his Father. Let's look at point number one. Jesus gives life and executes judgment. Jesus gives life and executes judgment. We see this in verses 21 and 22. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Jesus gives life and executes judgment. So this is the first big thing that Jesus is making a claim of, that he extends spiritual life to people. Now understand, your Old Testament writers, even Jesus' opponents, if you said God gives life, that it's a prerogative of God, the Father gives life, the God of the Old Testament, Jesus saying that, they'd have been like, yeah, we know, we believe that. But Jesus is taking it a step further. He's saying God the Father gives life, but God the Father has also given this prerogative to the Son. And he's speaking as the Son. He's saying that I too give resurrection life. This would have been a polarizing thing for Jesus to say in the moment. Because again, he continues to kind of equate himself to God the Father. Now understand, this spiritual life, this resurrection life that Jesus is saying he gives to people, when he gives it, there's some things that happen instantaneous in the moment. It's not just a foretaste of a future eternity with God. There's some things that happen right in the moment that Jesus is talking about that changes you. 20 plus years ago, I was down here in Fort Walton Beach at a beach camp, and actually at a hotel called the Blue Horizon, which doesn't exist anymore. And I'll never forget the moment that I fell under conviction and realized I needed a relationship with Jesus. Gave my life to Christ while we're back here in this area. And it changed me. It changed me. It hasn't been a perfect road. I mean, I've struggled, made a lot of terrible decisions since then. But something shifted in my life. In fact, I came home, teenager at the time, told my parents, every single DVD that has a curse word needs to leave this house. Saving Private Ryan was one of them, like, that's got to go, which, amazing movie, a lot of cursing. I was like, this has to go. Of course, Dad's like, son, let's back up. And then I was like, Lord, I'm under persecution. I remember walking outside, like, I'm 13, tears in my eyes, what am I crying about? The point is, something shifted in my life where I wanted to pursue a life of purity and holiness. It changes you. So the question you have to ask yourself, if you're like, yeah, I'm saved, I'm a believer. Have you had a lights come on moment in your life where there was something inside of you that wanted to lean in towards a life of purity and holiness and righteousness? Has there ever been a shift where it's like, yeah, I want to pursue this? Because this spiritual, this resurrection life that Jesus is talking about, that he extends, changes in an instant. But what else does Jesus say? He says that he's also given the prerogative to judge. So he says, I've been given this prerogative to give life, but I've also been given the authority to judge, to condemn. Now you want to talk about making them marvel? Jesus has just said, I have the power and authority to give life. Now he's saying, I also, this has been given to me by God the Father to judge, to condemn. Again, those with the understanding of the Old Testament, which his audience, they would have had a very clear understanding of the Old Testament. They would have known, like, bro, God The God of the Old Testament, God the Father, he's the one who judges. He's the one who condemns. What in the world are you saying? Yet Jesus is saying, I now have the authority to judge as well. It's been given to him by God the Father. And it's very interesting because the way he words this is God the Father has given him this authority, has passed along to him. This is what's now going to be a distinction between the Son and the Father in terms of how they operate on this planet. Verse 21, we saw their prerogatives are parallel. They both give life. Then you get to verse 22 and there's a shift. Let's skip down to verse 27 because this idea of judge comes up again. We're going to lighten the mood here in a moment. Don't worry. Verse 27, and he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Jesus is now leaning into Daniel chapter 7. Daniel has this vision. A lot of the sovereignty of God comes up in this vision. Then you get down to verses 13 and 14, and Daniel describes this apocalyptic Son of Man who is given authority, dominion, a kingdom. You get into verse 14, I believe, and what we read in the text is all the people are going to serve this apocalyptic Son of Man. His kingdom is going to be eternal. So what Jesus is doing, and they would have known, his audience would have known, he's saying, I am this apocalyptic Son of Man who judges and ultimately condemns. So Jesus gives life. Jesus also executes judgment. And remember, every single person faces the judge. Only some will be acquitted. And what we see in this text is some are acquitted. Now, here's the question I have for you. So we know Jesus has authority over all. How much is that authority playing a role into your everyday decision making? Because the authority of Jesus should affect your relationship with your spouse. The authority of Jesus should affect how you parent your kids, how you spend your money, how you spend your time. The authority of Jesus should have an effect on every aspect of your life. How is it affecting you? That's why we need to constantly remind ourselves of who Jesus is. Next, we see that Jesus calls you to hear and believe. I don't want to skip over this. Verse 23, we see something pretty profound before we get into 24 and 25. Jesus says that the reason he has this authority is so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So Jesus is making sure everyone understands when you honor the Son, you honor the Father. When the Son is glorified, the Father is glorified. So really leaning into this centrality of Jesus when it comes to our worship. We get into verses 24 and 25. He says, truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus is calling you to hear and believe. So Jesus says, look, I have been put on this planet to give life and execute judgment. But those who hear me, that's hear and believe, that's it's impact, not just hearing the words, but it's changing. There's a belief that takes place. There's blessing. And this changes everything with what he's saying. He's saying, those who hear me and believe, and you respond to my voice, when you face me as judge, what I tell to you is, you're acquitted. You're acquitted. There's eternal life. You pass from death to life. But we also see with what Jesus is saying is that we all have a choice to make. We have decisions that we can make. And we see in verses 24 and 25 that We can either choose to hear and believe and affirm the words of Jesus, live a life that's honoring him, or you can choose a life of wickedness and evil, and we have that choice to make. And the way Jesus is wording this is he's not just trying to make a statement of fact. He's not just trying to say this is what's true, like I give life, I hand down judgment, I condemn. He's also initiating. He is extending an invitation to them. And it's what Jesus is doing for some of you today. He's extending an invitation to you. He's saying you do have a choice that you can make. You can choose to hear and believe, or you can choose to reject. I'm calling you to hear and believe. So Jesus gives life and executes judgment. Jesus is calling you to hear and believe. Thirdly, and this is a big one, Jesus cautions that your actions have consequences. Your actions have consequences. In verses 28 and 29, he says this, "Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation." Remember, we've been tracking towards this big idea that all will face the judge, some will be acquitted. And this is, verse 28 is really the climax of the passage. Because Jesus is saying there's going to be this all-powerful voice that he will speak with that will summon the dead from the grave. And there's going to be two options for when he summons the dead from the grave. At the end of time, when he's handing down final judgment, some are going to be raised to resurrection of life. Some are going to be raised to resurrection of condemnation. And it's all going to be based off of how we live. Now, just to set the record straight, because you hear this and think, are you preaching salvation by works? Absolutely not. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith. But what Jesus is trying to make sure his audience understands is that the life that you live serves as a test of the faith that you profess. And your actions do matter. How you live does matter. Very often when we talk about salvation or we talk about the gospel, we really like to lean into the assurance texts. Once saved, always saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. My life is secure in Jesus. And we lean into these texts and we ignore texts like these when Jesus talks about, well, the way that you live does serve and does have eternal consequences. Here's the thing. We can continue to ignore texts like this. But when it comes to this voice that's going to speak at the end of time, that's going to summon those from their grave, that is not a voice that you or I are going to be able to ignore. It's an all-powerful voice. And you can't ignore it. Some of you have come into the building several times and you sense that there's this voice calling you, but right now, because of the freedoms that God has given you, you can choose to continue to ignore that voice and walk out of the building and never respond. But I just want to make sure you understand, at the end of time, when this all-powerful judge does this final calling, I don't know what the voice is going to sound like, but it's not a voice you're going to be able to ignore. I like to think it's a lot like when I'm, right now, my daughter, she's loves this iPad we got her, and yes, we do screen time to time at my house, and if you don't like that, I'm so sorry. But we do this, and it's like, Piper, you got to come eat your dinner. Nothing. Like, doesn't even look. She's addicted to this robot, what is it? What is it, Olivia? The Minecraft. Piper, come to dinner. Nothing. I'll say it three or four times. Nothing. And then you know what it ends up sounding like. Piper looks up, a voice she can't ignore. And she comes to dinner because she knows there's consequences if she's just going to sit there at that point. And when it comes to this voice that's calling you, it's calling you now. But at the end of time, when it's all said and done, it's not a voice you're going to be able to ignore. And here's what we know about Jesus' judging, is he's a just judge, and he makes sure that we understand that in verse 30. He says, I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. His judgment's just. We can rely on it. The question for you, since we know it's a fact, all will face the judge, what's he going to be saying to you at the end of time? Is he going to say, welcome to heaven, you're acquitted? Or is he going to say, I don't know you, you're condemned? We know that his judgment is just. So here's some application for all of us today. We have some unbelievers in the room, and you have sensed time and time and time again this voice that is calling you to respond, that says, I love you and I want to give you life. Your best response is to make sure you're on the side of the some will be acquitted. To make sure you're on the side, as Paul declares in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To make sure you're on the side of where Paul says in Romans 8:31, who can bring a charge against God's elect? You can be sure of that today. You can be sure of that by simply acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior of her life, the life of Lord and Savior of your life, and receiving this life that he's extending to you today. If you're a believer in the room, there's a few things I want us to think about. Number one, make sure that the authority of Jesus is truly shaping the way that you live, that it's shaping your character, your life in general, that it's shaping you. Make sure that the authority of Jesus is shaping the way that you live. Here's another one. Let this doctrine of judgment help rid you of all bitterness. Because we can get real frustrated. Again, if you're like kind of one of the people I was talking about at the beginning, real frustrated, nothing's working out in your life. You're in the Word, you're praying, you're faithful to the local church, nothing's working out. It's just been suffering out there. Just know that God is a just judge, and he sees you, and trust him, and know that there is vindication at the end of time. Don't let it rid you of bitterness. We're not playing the comparison game. Just trust him. He knows what he's doing. Here's another one. Let the doctrine of judgment liberate you of being too harsh on yourself. Make sure that you are not the judge of you. Let God be the judge of you. Receive his forgiveness and move forward. All will face the judge. Some will be acquitted. Question for you is, what's going to happen when you face the judge one day? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we're grateful for this word that you have given us. Lord, we recognize that there's likely someone in the room who knows they've never responded to this all-powerful voice that is calling them and wants to give them life. God, would you give them the faith to believe for the first time? Lord, I pray for all of us in the room, the believers in the house, that we would make sure the authority of Jesus is truly shaping the way that we live. Lord, that we would rid ourselves of all bitterness and trust that Jesus knows what he's doing, that he sees us, that he loves us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can stand up. We have one last song of worship. If you want to talk to somebody about salvation, about what it means to follow Jesus, please come and talk to me or some people on my right and left. We'd love to share with you more about what it means to follow Jesus. But let's continue on in our worship this morning through singing.